Father, we just welcome you. We thank you so much that you love us and your mercies are new every day, because we need them to be new every day.
Yes, we do.
Lord, we came here for healing, inner healing. We came here to be in your presence. But there's so much involved in our inner healing. So we just open up everything to you, and we ask you to do whatever it takes to prepare us, Lord, so that we can walk in oneness with you. We just give you this time. We ask you to anoint your word as it's spoken and as it's received in the name of Jesus. Amen. I had some disappointments through Halloween. People, lots of people, some family, some other people that celebrated Halloween in ways of dressing evil and different things. Some people drinking parties, costume parties, some even preachers I know going trick-or-treating or having costume parties in their churches. I mean, it was just disappointing in some of my family doing things. And I was really unhappy about it and did what I do in the flesh. The first thing we do, you know, respond in the flesh and criticize and get angry about it and talk about it. And then I went to pray. And I said, God, I don't want to criticize. I don't want to be angry or criticize. I used to celebrate Halloween too. I mean, we were in a church. Harvey was the cut-off head laying on the table, you know. We used to do that because we didn't know any better. We thought it was all silly fun to get scared. We did not understand. But when I went to pray, I felt like I found the Holy Spirit weeping. He was just weeping. And he said, why do my children serve my enemy? Why do my children serve my enemy? Can you imagine our holy, pure, good God, his own children who say they love him, dressing up like demons, blood and gore all over them, celebrating evil? Why? You know, that must just grieve his heart. And it's not just Halloween, but it's every time we choose sin. It's like, we yield to those evil spirits and we lie. We yield to those spirits and we gossip. We yield to those spirits and we're cold. And we serve to whomsoever you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are to whomever you obey. So it's like turning our back on the Holy Spirit and serving the devil. And it breaks his heart. When I ask him, what can I do? What can I pray? Because I want these people I love to turn from that sin. I want them to see it. If only they could see you weeping, they would repent. And he said, no, they wouldn't. Because you have to know someone. You have to love someone to care if you're hurting them. He said, you need to trust me. You need to trust me. These people that you care about, I am working in their life to bring them to repentance. But sometimes if people grow up in church, they go to church and they get all religious, or sometimes people say, I don't sin, I'm a nice person, I help everybody, I'm a good person, I do good things. And he said, when they think they're good, they don't need me. And they cannot even see what's down inside of them. Down inside of us, all of us, deep down inside, there's like this black heart of hidden sin, of wickedness that we don't want to face, we don't want to think about, we don't want to admit. But God said he's cracking that heart open and letting it leak. And when it begins to leak into our life and come out in our thoughts and come out in our words, because out of the mouth proceedeth what's in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You find yourself saying something you wish you hadn't said. Man, why did I say that? Because it was in your little black heart down there, that part where you try to keep all that sin hidden and don't admit it. So God said, I'm letting it leak out into your life so you see it. You won't even believe some of the things you do and say. You'll be shocked with yourself. You'll go, I can't believe I did that. Well, it's the same with these people that we're praying for. They sometimes have to come to where they go, I can't believe how I'm acting. I can't believe what I just did. I can't believe my thought life lately. What is wrong with me? Why am I thinking this? Why am I feeling this? Why am I acting like this? It's not because you're getting worse. It's because what you kept well hidden and under control has been broken open and it's leaking out. So you can see it, so God can really get rid of it. Bring the light of truth and give you a deep and real repentance. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 14 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately, incurably wicked. Who can know it? We do not know our own heart. But it is deceitful. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. I try the reins. I test your mind. I test you in the deep hidden parts." How does he test us there? He brings things in our life that cause us to react. And that's how we find out what was really in our heart. We thought we're doing okay as long as we could hang out with who we wanted to, go where we wanted to. We didn't have a lot of affliction and persecution and irritation. But as soon as the irritation and affliction begins, it's the way God tests the reins. What controls your heart? What's down in there? What are you really thinking? He tests it. "I try the reins to give, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." In verse 14, we can only say, "Heal me, O Lord. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise." Our only hope. If the heart is hopelessly, desperately, incurably wicked, then our only hope is that God would heal our heart. But to heal our heart, we have to find out what's really there, how it got there, why it's there, and desire that it's gone. The Lord told me to get up at 4 o'clock today, and I didn't. I argued with him, you know, reason it away. He couldn't mean 4. I woke up at 5 to 4 after having the thought, "God wants you to get up at 4. And I thought, no. Five to four, I'm looking at my clock going, it's 5 to 4, maybe it was God. Yeah, I still got 5 minutes, go back to sleep. 5 after 4, looking at the clock. Wow, it must be God, it's 5 after 4, but I am so sleepy. I don't have to leave here till 9:30. Well, I don't need that many, 5.5 hours, you know, I don't need that much time to get together. I just 5 more minutes. I kept arguing till 4:30. Finally, at 4:30, I got up and started repenting and apologizing for not getting up at 4, saying, "I can't believe I argued with you." We can't believe half the stuff we do. Because I tell God yesterday, anything you want, anytime you want, anywhere you want, anything you want. He says, "Get up at 4 and argue with him." I tell him I don't want to judge, be judgmental, and somebody tells me so-and-so did this, and I go, "I can't believe it. I just can't believe they did that." Start judging. Because we have a wicked heart. But why do we have a wicked heart? Because it's deceitful. Because we've been deceived. This black sin that's buried deep within, hiding these secret seeds of sin, God is breaking them open because he's taking us. Remember Sunday? We're saying, "Fill my cup, Lord." And he's saying, this big wine goblet, you've got to remove the block and let me come way down in the stem. And then I'm going to melt the whole cup. Because the cup is the image of you. We hold God to living in our image. He wants to melt our image, mold us into his image. So this is going deeper today. We're going down the stem today. We want to get way down to the bottom of things. His Holy Spirit weeping over the things that are so vile and so black inside of his people that he loves, that he created in his image. Those deceptions were built on lies. They were built on belief systems that we have formed since the day we were born. We've been lied to. We had false teachers. We had false images. We had pain and wounds, and somebody wounds me, and then the Spirit comes along and tells me how to respond to them. Why did they wound me? What did they think about me? And we start judging ourselves and judging others, and we form all these lying, wrong belief systems through rejection and pain. through our neediness. But John 8. Let's turn to John 8. Coming back to Jeremiah in a minute, so don't lose your place. Ah, oh, you already did. You're going to get a lot of practice finding it again. Well, we're in John 8 now. We were in
Jeremiah 17.
Somewhere around there. John 8. John 8. John chapter 8. See, the only way to get free from the lies that have built the blackness in your heart is to have truth. In John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews, which believed on him, Jesus said to the people who believed on him, see, there's levels. Remember what Pastor Steve taught us. You can be a believer, but not a disciple. Because you can believe in Jesus, but not choose to follow him. But those who choose to follow him obediently and live like him become disciples, disciplined followers. So Jesus said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, just believing in Jesus, you get a little dose of truth. That he paid for your sins, you get to go to heaven. But if you're going to be really delivered, if you want to be deeply healed, if you want to really be set free from that black heart, you have to continue in his word. There has to be a continuing in his word. You can't just start out in his word. Jesus is the word of God who became flesh. We start out by taking Jesus inside of us, by accepting him. We have to continue in the word of God in order to get rid of all this deception and deceitfulness inside of us. Continue in his word. If you will do that, then you're going to know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Continuing in his word will set you free. Then they answered and said, we are Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. So how do you say you shall be made free? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We need the Son of God to be free. We need to continue in his word if we want to be free. Hebrews 4:12. This is about word. Your deepest healing is going to come in the presence of God. Presence of God is going to be found through the word of God. Hunger for the word. Stay in the word. I'm going to show you what I got up at 4:30 to paint. I don't know if it's done. If I got up at 4, it would have had 30 more minutes on it. But this is our black heart. I didn't want to paint. Even after I got up, I didn't want to paint. I said, I don't know what to paint. You're going to paint a black heart. Okay, I'm going to go down and I'm going to paint a black heart. So I did. I went down and I just painted a black heart. And I'm telling you, one thing at a time, God said, now get some red, one color at a time. Which brush do you want me to use? Get the fan brush. One thing at a time, you start. I had no idea where this was going to go. So I got the fan brush and the black, first we did the red, and then the black started coming out into the red. Because God is opening up. He's cracking open that black heart. And it's spilling out into our life. Out into where we don't want it to be. I don't want to feel what I feel. I don't want to say what I say. I don't want to do what I'm doing. Why am I doing these things? Because he's exposing you to you. He's showing you so that he can heal you and deliver you. It's for you. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good either. You don't like it, neither does anyone else that gets to see it. But it's got to come out to get gone. So the blackness is coming out of our heart and into our life. And the word of God that divides asunder, divides in half the soul and the spirit. This side is a copper heart that represents flesh. But this side is a golden heart, which is purity. He's coming to split wide open through that blackness in our heart. Expose it all and purify that gold heart in us. This is the word of God. I thought I was going to paint the sword, and I went, God, I need a lot of time to paint a sword. He said, not this sword, you don't, because I'm talking about the word, the light of truth coming in. And that light of truth that's coming in and spreading out through our heart, dividing asunder and showing us what is God and what is not, what needs to be gone and what needs to be held onto. That's what he's doing in us right now. So I don't know if this is done or not, but I apologize. I didn't get up at 4. It might have something else there. So the word of God, Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick. Quick means alive. The word of God is alive. It's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, even of the joints and marrow. It not just comes down into your heart. This word goes right down into your bones, all the way into the marrow of your bones. You know, the word says that stubbornness breaketh the bones. Well, if you got stubbornness, God has to pierce right into your bones, into the marrow, to reveal your stubbornness. When my mom was dying, my mom was with us a couple of years. My mom was a stubborn person. And my mom kept falling down and breaking all her bones. You know, stubborn about little things. She had a walker, and I said, Mom, don't get up in the middle of the night by yourself, because you could fall. Let me help you. I don't need any help. She gets up in the middle of the night, goes to the bathroom and falls in the tub, gets another broken bone. So my mom, my brother and I are at the hospital, you know, and I'm saying to my brother, Mom is so stubborn. And my sister Kay is so stubborn. And my brother says, so are you. I went, I'm not stubborn. I had no idea I was stubborn. I didn't think I was stubborn. But when God pierces your heart with his word, he can tell you what no person can tell you. Later, at a different time, as the word of God pierced me and showed me, look how stubborn you're being. Wow. I know I was being stubborn. He started bringing it to my attention. I started seeing my stubbornness. I started hearing how I sounded to people when I wouldn't bend. I went, whoa, I'm stubborn. I didn't know I was stubborn. The word of God can show you what others can't tell you. And it's a discerner of the thoughts. Discerning those thoughts that you don't admit. Do you ever finally realize something and then you go, you know what? That's been kicking around in the back of my mind and I just didn't let it come to consciousness. And suddenly when it does, you go, yep, that's what's been in my mind. But you haven't been facing it. You haven't been realizing it. God will discern those thoughts and the intentions of your heart. The intentions of your heart. Why do you do what you do? What are your intentions? What do you hope to gain by what you do and say? Do you have an ulterior motive, even when you're doing right and being good? He wants even the motive of your goodness to be examined. Is it real? Is it so others will like you? Is it so God will be pleased with you? Or is it because you really love the person? You just enjoy pleasing God and you know, we're not that pure. And our intentions need to be revealed so that they can be changed. 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made known in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do, with whom we have to give account to. Every single thought and intention of your heart, everything is open and unveiled and seen by God. Nothing is hidden. And we shouldn't want anything hidden. We should be opening it up and saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. Reveal to me if there is anything wicked inside of me. And then lead me in the path of righteousness. I don't want these things in my heart. Well, we can't get rid of them if we don't see them. And when we see them, then we hate ourselves for them. And then the devil wants to say, see how bad you are. And then we just want to add guilt and shame. That's not the point of revealing a heart. The point is to cleanse the heart and get rid of it. Get the victory. So cracked open The heart begins to leak out, come out of hiding, be seen in our life, in our words, in our actions, until we're shocked at what we see in ourselves. Because the heart is desperately wicked. It is sin infected. It is like a black tumor growing inside of us, and it needs to be removed. We cannot ignore it. We can't ignore it because it doesn't ignore us. In Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if there is something in your heart, it's going to affect your words. You can only pretend so much, but what's in your heart is going to affect your words. It's going to end up coming out. And you'll say, I can't even believe I was so rude. It's something in your heart. Face it. Let God face it. Let's go back to Jeremiah for a minute. Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24, starting in verse 6 through 7. God says, for I will set my eyes upon them for good. I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them, and I will not pull them down. I will plant them, and I will not pluck them up. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. He wants us to turn with our whole heart. A whole heart might be three-quarters of a heart fully in love with God, and one-quarter still has blackness. He wants it all. He wants us to turn with all of it. God, see how much I love you. God, see how I choose you. God, see how I want to be right with you. But God, also see what's wrong. Also see that part that's wrong, because he wants all of it. He wants to deal with all of it. And he will give us a new heart. He will give us a new heart to know him. And to know God is salvation. We have to see it. And then we have to admit it. 1 John 1. Jump right back before Revelation. Pretty slow on the turning here. 1 John 1:8-9, 8-10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. His word is not in us if we don't know we have sinned, because his word will reveal our sin. So if we don't see our sin, we don't have his word in us. We need to get in his word so we can see our sin, so we can be cleansed of it. So we need to see it, we need to admit it, we need to confess it. And then in Proverbs 28:13 it says, he that covers his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes it shall have mercy. So we need to see it, we need to confess it, and we need to forsake it. How do we forsake it? Not by swearing we'll never do it again, but saying by choice, I do not want this sin to live in me. God, I want you to live in me. Fight this enemy. Get this sin out of me. Because I don't choose it. I don't want it to live in me. If you've got pride, you've got a critical spirit, a judgmental spirit, and every time you open your mouth, you find yourself judging and criticizing, then confess it. God, I'm judgmental. I'm critical. I don't want to be judgmental and critical. You don't get free by swearing you won't be again. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to criticize. I will not do it again. 10 minutes later, you're doing it again. So you can't deliver yourself, but it's your choice. God, it grieves you, and I do not want this in me. Please forgive me, and please deliver me from this. Why do I do it? Why do people judge and criticize? Why do we do that? When we do it, we're comparing ourselves to someone. I wouldn't do what you did. It's pride. I quit. If you loved God, you wouldn't do it. That's pride. See, the root of every sin is pride. You can always trace it back to pride. So our deliverance, our hope, is by getting full of the Word of God. Look at Psalm 119. I'm 111. I'm sorry, 111. Psalm 111. This is the chapter. It's a. Am I right or did I want 119?
Psalm
119.
Verse
11. 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Thy word have I hid in my heart. How do we hide his word in our heart? We have to know his word. We have to read his word. We have to know his word. We have to memorize his word. I can't remember addresses, but know the word. Memorize the word, because it will rise up in you and help you when you need it. It will keep you from sinning when you need it. If you look at Psalm 119, I mean, it is just word, 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 word. Oh, five, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, then I wouldn't be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed. I wish I would keep your word. How can I do it? Verse 9. How can I live right? Taking heed according to your word. Pay attention to his word. With my whole heart I sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. 14. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Do you love his word? 16. Oh, no, 15. I will meditate in your precepts, in your words, in your ideas, in your thoughts, oh God. I will meditate on them and have respect to your ways. I respect that your ways are better than mine. So I want to learn your ways and meditate in them. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Do we forget his word? We forget to read it. We forget to apply it to our life. But if we're consuming the word, like Patty said, until the word consumes us. Smith Wigglesworth quote, consume the word until the word consumes you. Consume the word till the word consumes you. The devils are all over you, whispering in your ear all day, every day, their words. And you don't really have any defense except his word. So get full of his word and battle with his word. Every lie they tell you, know a word to come back and tell them how they're a liar. God's given up on you, liar. He said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is sick of forgiving you. No, he's not. His mercies are new every morning. And we shall forgive each other 7 times, 70 times, 490 times a day. And he's greater than we are. So I know I got more than 500 a day coming from God. And if you're aware of needing to be forgiven 500 times a day, you're probably pretty full of his word, because you wouldn't be aware of that much sin if you weren't in the word. I'm not aware of that much sin. I mean, we should count it someday. How many times a day did I have to say, please forgive me? And the funny thing is, people who are not in the word, they might stand up and say, well, I didn't have to say it all today. I only said it once today. I'm doing pretty good. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're deceived. Your heart is deceitful because your heart is wicked. But the more words you get, the more you know. Something's wrong inside of me. 20 times today I'm saying, forgive me. 20 times today you were aware of sin. Good for you. Good for you. You see it. And you care. And it grieves you. Good for you. Because the unrighteous don't care. Their hearts are rock solid. They don't care. They still have a stony heart. And God said when you meet him, he will take the stony heart out. He will give you a heart of flesh. If you have a heart of flesh, it means you care when you sin. You hate it when you sin. You are grieved when you sin. You hate it when you hurt God. You do care when you find the Holy Spirit weeping because you have grieved him. If you don't care, you haven't gotten a heart of flesh yet. And the more you're in the word, the more times you're going to confess. Keep a short record. And the more you're into God, the more you're going to realize how fast he forgives it. So you don't walk around burdened and guilty and ashamed. Oh, God, I sinned again. Please forgive me. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. I'm sorry I grieved you. Fill me back with your Holy Spirit that I might bring you honor and glory the rest of this day. The righteous man falls 7 times a day and rises up again. Get back up and honor God. Don't crawl around in the puke of guilt and shame. Because God doesn't want you crawling around in it, wallowing around in your guilt and shame. That's the devil's game. First he talks you into sinning, then he beats you up because you did, and he wants you to stay down there in there and hate yourself. Because you can't reach God from guilt and shame. You have to let it go. Just let it go. Once he's forgiven you, let it go. Verse 18. I love verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I don't just want to read it. I want it to come alive to me. Speak to me, God. Be alive to me. Let your word work in me. It's not in my ears. Get it down inside of me. 24, your testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Your word is my counselor. My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to your word. When you feel like you're laying in the dust of hopelessness, ask God to bring you back to life through his word. Because when he speaks personally to you through his word, it is life. Suddenly you're alive again. Suddenly the hope is back. Suddenly you know, I don't have to wallow around here. God is going to pick me up and give me life again. Verse 28, my soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. There is strength in his word. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep your law. Yea, I will observe it with my whole heart. Give me understanding of your word, God. Don't just read it. There's a lot of verses in 119. A lot. You should read 119 over and over and over and over, because it's just an awesome chapter, and it's way too long for us to read all of it here. But 119. Psalms. Flip over to Ezekiel for a minute. Ezekiel is about six books to the right. Ezekiel 11. Eleven, 17 through 21. I wanted you to see about that new heart that God would give us. Ezekiel 11, 17 through 21. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people. I will assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. God talks about the land of Egypt. He talks about the world, carnality, living like everybody else on the face of this earth does who doesn't know God. He said, I'm gathering you out of that. I am bringing you into a different land. I want you to live in the land, in the kingdom of God. And it's different there. And they shall come thither and shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh. And I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God. But as for those whose heart walks after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their heads, says the Lord. It's a choice. It's a choice for God that you cannot keep. But if you will fill yourself up with the word, you'll change. When I left church, I left over the stupidest thing. I left because I couldn't quit smoking. Everybody in the church was saying, you can't be in the death work anymore because you smoke. You can't serve God because smoking's a sin, which we talked about on Sunday. Smoking's not a sin. Disobedience to God is a sin. But I let all that guilt and burden be put on me, and the church kicked me out of the death work. And I was so angry, and I was mad at God, and I backslid, and I went back into the world. And when I repented and I wanted to come back to God, I said, God, I still can't do it. I can't do anything. I can't change my sinful heart. I can't even quit smoking. I can't do it. But this I can do. I will read your word. I will read and read and read your word. And I will hope in your word having the power to change my life. I will go to church every time the doors are open, and I will and hear those messages, and I will read your word every day. And I began to consume the word. I began to consume it because it was my hope. And God changed me. God brought me to do what I could not do. See, it's his job. But as you take in more and more and more of the word, it's alive. It will transform you. If you try to serve him without filling up in the word, you're going to fail. And fail and fail and fail. Ezekiel 36. Let's flip over a few. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. Is that not the saddest thing you ever heard? God is talking to his people. He said, my name has been profaned among the heathen. You did it. When we go out in the world and live just like them and talk just like them, we profane the holy name of God. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. As long as we act as wicked as the world, they don't know God is real. And he wants them to know him. He said, when I get sanctified in you, then they'll know that I'm real. You have to carry God out there. For I will take you from among the heathen, and I'll gather you out of all countries, and I'll bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you will dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will save you from all your uncleanness. And I will call for the corn, and I will increase it, and I will lay no famine upon you. He goes on, I will multiply you and bless you, and he's going to beat your enemies. And when we finally come in and realize, I must find him in the word. I must consume this word until it consumes me. Joel 2:13. This is our last verse.
Three books to the right.
Thank you. I needed that. I did not mark my places today. 2:13. I'll start with 12. Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Turn to him with all your heart. Fasting doesn't have to mean give up your food. It may mean give up whatever you're stuffing yourself on, whatever you are gorging your life on. It may mean lay it down for a little while. You're gorging yourself on TV. Why don't you do a fast from that for a little while and crave God? You're gorging yourself on something you like to do, some place you like to go, the friends you like to hang out with, whatever it is that you are feeding on, fast from it for a little while. Just lay it aside for a little while and feed on the word of God and rend your heart. We have a new Misty Edwards CD we've been listening to, and she says, I rip it open. I take my heart and I rip it open. God, you don't have to crack my heart. I will rip it open for you. I say, here it is, God. I don't want a little teeny hole with a little trinkle so that it takes me 20 years to grow a little. I want to rip that thing open and expose it all. And I want to gorge myself on the Word of God because I want to get there faster. I want to be changed quickly. How quickly? How much? We cry, more, Lord, and we go home and eat like a little teeny-weeny bird. Pick, pick, pick. I think I'll have a seed of God today. I think I'll pick a little verse out of God today. If you're hungry, eat more. If you really mean it when you say, more, Lord, more, Lord, more, Lord, melt me, change me, transform me, expose my heart, grant me repentance. If you really mean it, fast something. Fast anything. Fast one thing that you do and spend that time in the Word. Start somewhere. If you have, I have a coffee break in the afternoon where Janai and I sit down and have coffee and we have our little snack and we watch our shows. Biggest Loser, you know, it's supposed to make us lose weight and we always eat while we watch it. And we have these little, we record them so the TV doesn't control us, we control it. This is our resting TV time. We watch it when we say it's time, not when it comes on. We record it, and I do get up early, and it's go, go, work, work, study and pray and read and go and do everything. And it gets about 1 or 2 in the afternoon, and I got my coffee, and I got my treat, and I got my TV. Well, could I not fast 1 hour of that? Could I not fast 30 minutes of that? I mean, start where you can start. Start anywhere you can start. Just find a little more time to feast on the Word of God. Because that's where your transformation is going to come from. That's where it's going to come from. And be encouraged. If you can't stand yourself right now, that's a good sign. That's a really good sign. That God has cracked open that heart and showing you what you used to make excuses for, cover up, and deny. And now it's in your face and you cannot cover it. Cannot deny it. It is exposed. And the first step to being set free is exposure. Exposed to you first. So thank Him. Thank Him for showing your uglies to you so that He can get rid of them. Really be encouraged if you hate the uglies when you see them. Be encouraged if you're hating them. It's a good sign God is living in there. We're going to put on that new Misty Edwards music. And soak and invite God. Soak if you want to soak. Go in the Word and read the Word while you listen to it if you want to. But invite God to break open your heart. If you're after Him, He is cracking it. But you can rend it. You can rend it. Tear it wide open. Thank you, Jesus.
You said if we would come with weeping, you said if we would come and rend our hearts, you said if we would come and let you hear our voice, let you see our face, that you would come. we confess that there is no other hope. And we repent, God, for our wicked ways. I repent, God, for my double-mindedness, my heart so prone to wander, so quickly to cling to another. I've been leaning on and I tear my heart, I rip it open, all that I've been holding on to. When you are forgotten, I take my heart and willingly I rip it open. For I only want to cling to you. I don't want to cling to another. I've been chasing all those other loves and I've forgotten you. Now I take my heart and I humble myself in your sight. And so come break the chains that hinder love, all that remains of yesteryear. Come break the chains that pull me down. Come break the chains and draw me near and let your fall. Let your fire burn, consuming me. Let your jealous flame come and write your name upon my heart. Till all that remains is the light of your countenance. And I will be satisfied when I as a lover of you, as a lover of you, whatever it takes, take it away, whatever it takes, just take it away, your countenance, and I will be satisfied when I awaken as a lover of you.
fountains, you. I am your resting place. I am your resting place. Here, O Lord, have I prepared a place for you to dwell. Here in the reservoir of me. That you would dwell in my heart. That I would be in you and you would be in me. Here where it's you and me alone. The very glory of God on the inside of me. I want to fellowship with you. Here it's you.
Come into your garden. Come into your garden. Come into your garden. So come into your garden. 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 Hiding my voice.
just let me cling to you, Jesus. Let me find how